Forgive my rough voice. I have been singing loudly with gusto all weekend. I'm pleased to be with you this morning, but as I mentioned, I'm a little overwhelmed. It's myself, Tom Carr, and Bruce Lombardi just got back from Diocesan Convention, which was held over Friday and Saturday. I have been to a lot of these now, and I have to say this was one of the most uplifting, joyous conventions I've ever attended. Part of this, I think, was because of the tone of our diocesan bishop, Jeff Mello. He set a theme of one vine, many branches, and it truly was a celebration of our coming together in our diverse opinions and conversations and specific church situations. It felt like a really big family reunion. And for me, a big part of the joy was because of the music. It was amazing. There was a beautiful choir. We all sang Taizé together. And there was a group called the Theodicy Jazz Collective, which played for us at a Friday night party and then led us in music, in worship the next day. And because I'm kind of a nerd, it means I learned a new word this weekend, theodicy, the Theodicy Jazz Collective. It's from Theo, meaning God, and a Greek word dike, meaning justice, theodicy. Theodicy is the defense of God's goodness and omnipotence in view of the existence of evil. So you've probably heard these kinds of arguments. Someone will say, well, if God's so great, why did the pandemic happen? Or if God is good and omnipotent, then how did the Holocaust happen? The returning argument that people try to give in that debate, asserting that God's goodness is still all-knowing and all-powerful, even in the light of horrors and suffering, that is a theodicy. When I looked it up on my phone at convention, I sort of laughed. You see, has this ever happened to you? You're sort of wrestling with something with God over and over again, and then it's like everywhere. I have been, even without knowing the word, wrestling with theodicy as I prepare to co-lead the Living Thoughtfully, Dying Well workshops on Tuesdays and to restart the morning healing prayer services in November. How can I offer healing? How can I offer guidance on walking through the loss of death and dying in a way that doesn't diminish the real suffering present in sickness and fear and death? It's nice to have a name for it, this work. I'm working on theodicy. The temptation is to make God a sort of fairy godmother with these things, isn't it? You take out your magic wand and go, poof, your faith has made you well. Poof, you're healed. Poof, you're no longer scared of dying. Poof, your loved one is no longer suffering in hospice. Just have faith. Poof. And I'll be honest, sometimes I really want that magic wand. I see people suffering, my loved ones, my church family, faces on the news, and I just want to go, poof! My faith has made you all well. But then I consider the blind man, this Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He believes in Jesus, it's true. When Jesus walks by, he calls out to him, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He states who he believes Jesus is and what Jesus can do. And for us, that's often what we mean when we say faith. God, I believe. I believe you can heal. There's my faith. But then Bartimaeus is shushed. He's scorned for calling out, and he does it again louder. Surely this is faith too, not just belief, but refusal to be embarrassed by your belief, saying it again louder, even when people dismiss you. I remember when I was a chaplain in the hospital, I knocked on the door of someone and she said, what good will a chaplain do? I have terminal cancer, what good can you do? And I said, well, maybe we can just talk then, which was absolutely the right thing to say there. It let me build a relationship and offer what comfort I could. But with you all, I would say it's not what good I will do in praying, it's what good God will do in us when we pray. It's complicated in a world where we respect others' beliefs and unbeliefs and also need to wrestle with how to live loudly into our own faith. How can we say it again louder? And then, for Bartimaeus, my favorite part of the story is when the disciples call back to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." Oh, how much do you want to hear that when you're suffering, when you're sick? Take heart. Jesus has heard you. And oh, how much do you not want to then get up and move and listen to where Jesus is calling you? Isn't that true when you're sick or fearful or anxious or worried? You just can't take anymore and you encounter suffering. You don't want to get up and go. You want to fall down and have someone else fix this thing. Poof. But Bartimaeus leaps up. He goes forward, and remember, he still can't see. He's still blind. He doesn't even hear Jesus. He hears others tell him that Jesus is calling him, and yet he leaps up and steps out into the darkness. And this, I think, is the faith that made him well. Not his belief in who Jesus was, or not even his belief in what Jesus could do. It was his moving forward towards Jesus before he was healed, before he could see. That is faith. And that is terrifying. And get ready for some theodicy. This is how we can have faith in a good and loving God in our own suffering and darkness. How we can walk alongside a family member at the end of their life when we don't know what we're doing and it hurts so much. How we can come together and pray, asking for healing in the face of a friend's terminal disease. How we can witness the suffering in the world and not be overwhelmed into despair by it. We don't know the answers or how it works. We are blind, but we do know that Jesus calls us out into that darkness. He doesn't say, "Here, I'll restore your sight and give you a lantern. I'll clear you a path. Would you like to win the lottery as well?" Faith is taking a step towards Jesus, even when we can't see where we're going. And that kind of faith does make us well. Not in a poof magic wand kind of way, but a deeper wholeness. It is well in our souls, even when it hurts. Even if it's not right, it is well. I've been wondering why a jazz music collective would name themselves Theodicy. It's kind of heavy. How does fusing contemporary jazz music with ancient church rites speak to the question of God's goodness and omnipotence in an unjust world? And then I tried a thing where I didn't think so hard. And I remembered how their music made me feel. So uplifted and full of the Holy Spirit that my voice is now a little crackly because it made me sing so loud. Yesterday we sang, "Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life." And I wonder if this is like Bartimaeus leaping up to go before he's even healed. If this is like Job declaring that God is good and all-powerful, even when he has no expectation of restoration. Maybe part of our step of faith in a world of suffering is to take what our church has been and to restate it louder in our belief in who we are. Jazz it up. Take the ancient rites and make them our own and sing it out into the world, even as we don't know how or where it's all going. Even as we are still blind, we can step towards Christ in the personal things, our own health, our own preparation for death, our own witnessing of dying, and in the big things, the suffering of our world, our nation, our climate, our neighbors, we can sing or pray, which is really the same thing. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. Bless his holy name. Amen.